हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो देन वी हैव दी भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय 1 आदिकाण्ड 4 भक्ति इज सुपीरियर टू ऑल अदर साधनास अनुच्छेद 97। सो देन दी पॉइंट बीइंग मेड दैट all other sadhanas for the purusharthas have their root in bhakti, right? So then, continuing on page 7, according to these principles, without bhakti, the process cannot attain their intended goal, means any of the purusharthas. Then, quote, the actions of the Vedas or smritis performed without bhakti to Vishnu give only suffering to the body, like the actions of a prostitute, Skanda Purana. Then, quote from Bhagavatam, purified persons who constantly serve, meditate upon, and glorify your feet, which destroy everything inauspicious, are sure to attain freedom from material existence. O lotus-navelled Lord, even if they desire something in this world, they obtain it, whereas others, those who do not take shelter of you, are never satisfied. O Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.72, 4. It is also said, just as water is known to be life for all people, so bhakti is life for all perfected beings. Brihad Naradina Purana 1.4.4. Sri Dhamma spoke thus the verse. But so it's, you know, giving more evidence on that all these other principles, these secondary principles, these religious principles, they only can give their intended goal, right? If they're connected with devotional service, because their purpose is to assist devotional service, just like kitchen utensils are meant for cooking, right? That's their intended purpose. But if you get a bunch of kids in the kitchen, oh, all kinds of things can happen. You know, you can have a cricket match. You know, you can start, you know, swinging at each other and hitting each other with them, you know, or banging on the floor, or you can start up some kind of a musical, you know, symposium. You know, all kinds of things can happen in that kitchen. And, but it's never, you know, and you can say as well, they're getting some happiness out of it. But as it says here, you know, from the Naradiya, no, excuse me, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you can never, they will never be satisfied. Well, the devotees, they're only serving Krishna, but if there's anything they require or desire, then they get that because it's used in the service of the Lord. So it gets the benefit of what it is that's there, but they're absorbed in the Lord, so they're actually satisfied. So this point itself, it has to be mentioned again and again and again for the simple reason that by adding Krishna, then the processes of the field and the activities that you do to transform that field and get results become perfect, because we came to the material world to perform the deal with the field and perform activities to get a result without Krishna. Well, in the spiritual world, it's all about in this field, in this activity, this activity can be performed to please Krishna. That's all the way they think. So Satchit and Ananda or Sambandhabhideva, they're all in place. But we come to the material world, we basically drop off Ananda. We keep the Satan, the Chit, right? We want to be happy. That's the point. You know, it's pointed out, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada point out, the living entity always wants to be happy eternally. And they think any action they do will give an eternal result or make them eternally happy. So this is called Vaikuntha Brahma and Ananda Brahma. So Vaikuntha Brahma, we think it's eternal. And Ananda Brahma, is we think that, we will be happy, and the activities we do and their results will make us happy. So therefore, situations can make us happy by performing activities in those situations. But it never works. No one is satisfied. It means it's just literally no one. It's not like, well, maybe someone. No, that's what we're working on. We're working on maybe someone. But no, it's designed that way. It's like planned obsolescence. It will break. Your toaster will fall apart. Like that. So it's designed like that. So we have to see is that this has to be brought up again and again, because this is the point that we don't catch or don't want to catch, because we think, because in a situation you can perform an action, right? That action can perform a transformation. That transformation can perform a result. That result can be utilized to make me happy. Right? Because whatever situation you're in, you try to adjust it to become happy. No one's happy. But there's, because it's the nature of the soul to be happy, the nature of the soul to exist eternally, the nature of the soul to be engaged in activity, then we always think this will work. But it can't. Because unless you add Krishna, he is rasa. Rasa is the what produces happiness. We're thinking, no, I get the particular item. I get this. I will be happy. But what's the rasa? So that's the thing, is only in relationships with others, then there can be happiness. And when we try it with any other living entity disconnected from Krishna, it still gives us no happiness. Right? So even we come to that point. So people who are more intelligent in this world, or more pious, you could say, then they have relationships with people, and they value that over money and position and power and all these things. They value that. It means the people interested in power and all that, they think they're fools. But at the end of the day, we all know how it works out. Right? So then they're never satisfied. So this essential point is that it's only a relation with the Lord, with Krishna. And then when it's seen with Krishna, because Krishna is everything, you have a relation with Krishna, then now you can have a proper relationship with everything. Right? That's the whole point. So we have this illusion that it's about us. But no, it's not. We are part and parcel of Krishna. So it's about Krishna. And then when we see that context, then our individuality has an actual meaning. Just like you take all your appliances in the kitchen, when they're all connected with the electricity, then they all have purpose, and they all have a connection with each other. Right? You need to do this, you use this one, you use that one. So it's all connected through the cooking. And everybody's engaged in doing their part according to their nature. Because how would I call it? All kitchen appliances were created equal in the eyes of the cook, so like that. And so then everything works because of the connection to Krishna. There is no other technique, and to think that there is illusion. And so that's the problem. So that's, then we see is that's the real problem. We can see is already with the Vedic philosophy, if you don't see it in connection to Krishna, because that's what it's for. That's the actual Vedic philosophy. And Achinta Bheda Veda Tattva is the actual Vedic philosophy, and it's connected devotion to Krishna, pure devotional service, according to Achinta Bheda Veda Tattva, how everything relates. That's the Vedic philosophy. And the other four schools of the Vaishnava philosophy, then those are elements of that. And because it's so perfect, the Chinta Veda Veda Tattva, even if you take one of them, it still can function. But it functions in its most wonderful state, in the level of Braja, if all of them are there. And we say, oh, but there's contradictions. That's the whole point, is that only with the Chinta Veda Veda Tattva Can you reconcile all the contradictions in their relationship with Krishna? Because Krishna is identifying as the son and mother of Yashoda and Nanda Baba, a resident of Vrindavan, but he's God. You know? So that's the whole point, is that you have to get this balance. And so that will come from this philosophy, not from any of the others. The others will, they will bring one to the eternal platform in a relationship with Krishna, but they'll only take you up so far. They'll take you to Vaikuntha, they take you to Dwarka or Mathura, you know, they may take you to Ayodhya, but they won't take you to Braj. They can't, because they can't reconcile these two, like we saw before. The first opening point of the technical, making this point that we're making right now, was Uddhava speaking to the gopis, the message given by Krishna, and seeing that Mudhi. Mm-hmm. So these combinations, you only get in Braj. Other places can't go that far. I was surprised. I was talking with somebody who was coming in a practicing Sri Vaishnav, you know, Brahmin family. And we started discussing the philosophy, and I started off by mentioning, well, you know, in the 24 Vishnu Murtis and the Vaikuntha planets, you know, and I was discussing, I wanted to discuss that with him, you know, how do they, you know, look at that? And he says, in our philosophy, they don't know about those. They only know about Paramparam, you know, means, in other words, Mahanarayan, you know, whereas Vasudev is expanded from Sankarshan. Like that, you know, the first Chaturvyuha that expands from Krishna. You know, Krishna is Vasudeva and Sankarshan Prajumnadi Ruta. Then from that Sankarshan, then expands Vasudeva, right? And then from him expands the second Sankarshan, which is the Vasudeva Prajumnadi Ruta and Vasudeva. I mean, Sankarshan Prajumnadi Ruta and Vasudeva in Dwarka. For those who are situated in majesty, right? But the first one is for those who are, it's just an expansion of the Braj pastimes, in that all those personalities are there for having that variety of flavor. And they're all thinking of Vrindavan, you know, but the second one isn't so much, but it is Krishna. So there will be that element, but it's not as prominent. You know, so they only know that aspect of that here that aspect of Vaikuntha, and from him comes all the others, because they see as, okay, now you get Krishna and all that, and there'll be some form of Vrindavan that's also connected below Vasudeva. You know, they call it lower Goloka. And so in there, that's what you see, is like the Alwars are talking about and others are talking about. Anyone else who's talking about that's not Braja Bhakti, they're talking about there. Because there, then, you have the same Radha and Krishna and that, but it has that aspect of majesty to it. There may be less majesty, just like Dwarka will have the most majesty, you know, then Mathura will have a little bit less, more sweetness, less majesty, and then that Vrindavan will have more sweetness, but still have the majesty, like I think one of the Acharyas is describing in one of the works, is that in that Vrindavan, then you have Srimati Radharani when she's going to go to the Rasa dance, you know, I think would be Maharas, with Krishna. Then she goes in a swan airplane with 10 million maidservants. Right? So it's still going to be Rasa dance. It's still that. They're still dressed basically the same. And it's still Vrindavan, but it's based on, it has that touch of majesty. Because, you know, he's God. But it's the sweetest form you can have with God. So in other words, the highest end you can have with that. Yeah, it's a nice thing here. So you don't, it doesn't have the element, and all these won't have separation. You know, I mean, more than just, you know, some simple things like that. But it doesn't have these major aspects that Braj has, because they can't handle that intensity. Why not? Because we still see is that it still has that element of liberation to it, in that it's about you wanting to be with the Lord, right? You want to be on the same planet, you want to be an associate, you know, have, you know, a similar form or similar opulences. And so how do you have that if there's separation? So in other words, that's why it's pure unalloyed devotional service in Braj, because there it's about Krishna and Radharani and the highest levels of ecstasy that can be attained. So, and then we were there. So it's the fully descending process, the absolute descending process. And so it's completely about them. And then we can take part in that. And so that's what Lord Chaitanya is saying has never been given before. Because always before, it's always has that aspect of that. Yes, it's always about, and it's pure devotional service, but it still has that aspect of that tinge of liberation, it's Vaishnava liberation, but it still has that aspect. It's about what I want, right? Rather than just you have that natural affection for Krishna, that rati, without any desire for your own. You just want to please Krishna. You just want to express that. So there's difference here. Then that must be appreciated, right? And the point is that I'm not sure who was discussing it, but it was brought up that I think it was that same devotee from that Sri Vaishnava background. He was saying he had discussed with Madhvas, and in the Shris, they don't know anything above Parampadam. Right? They have no idea. But he was saying, he talks about the Madhvas, they know that there's something above, but they're not interested. So they don't really have a problem. It's just that it's not what they're into. Just like, let's say someone who's worshiping Krishna, they know Ram's there and they'll be respect and everything. So it's not that the Madhvas, don't follow Janmashtami and this and that, but it's just not the place they want to go. And even if they have that interest, it'll be at that lower Goloka Vrindavan. It won't be Braj. That's why it mentions this. Braj, and then, Gokul, and then there's Goloka. So Gokul is above. And that Gokul is then, means, at least for us here, is what comes down here as Gokul, or the Boma Lila form of the Gokul. Like that. And I'm sure in the other 999 times when, Krishna comes, when it's not Swayam Krishna, then it will be the lower Goloka, or the Goloka aspect of Vrindavan that's coming there. That's why we say Braj of Vrindavan, because there may be many forms, but we're only interested in Braj of Vrindavan. So that's that highest form. But it means it's the greatest surrender and the greatest selflessness and all that. The other is already perfect, but then there's more perfect and then most perfect. So it's the most perfect. Vaikuntha is perfect, right? And then Mathura is more perfect, but Braj is most perfect. So it's this line on whether you're willing to take it into fully, into the element in general in Vaishnavas, into the Bhagavan aspect, that he's a person rather than just he's God. Because he's God, then you don't really care about the person. You care about his identity, your identity, and what's the relationship there, so what are the benefits? But when you take it to this point of going to individuality of Bhagavan, then it's him as an individual, you as an individual. So then it's got to be centered around him. Because the other can be around God, but then you're getting the benefit. Just like parents, it's about the kid, but they have the kids because they want to have kids. Right? So you always have that little bit of kickback. Right? But then when you take it to the pure bhakti, it means it's about the individual. And you as an individual, not just as an identity, but as an individual, you're making that commitment. So it's a slight step more, because then you're functioning with Bhagavan. Then we see with Bhagavan, then you're going to have the different features on how far you're going there. And then Braj takes it to the highest level. Yeah? So this is that point, is that we get confused, but, it's But if we're using, dharma, to come and moksha, then it's material. It says, yeah, if it's not used connected to Krishna. It says, oh, so we can use it. No, you can use it for Krishna. But that means we can use, yes, for Krishna. So then it's not about the dharma, to karma, moksha. It's just about Krishna. Yes. So we don't need dharma, to karma, moksha. It says, I mean, technically not really, but how are you going to express your bhakti without them? So then we need, it just goes back and forth. It's either all, how you say, absolutely, we reject everything, or everything, whatever we can use, is all for me and Krishna, and it's all fabulous. And like, they just can't, it's all sentimental, either acceptance or rejection. It can't be that it's for Krishna. So that's the point where the blind spot is seeing that this point is here, is that whenever it's, oh, we're just dealing with this. So most deal with only the sambandha abhideya, not the prayojana. Means, why are they doing? Okay, I'm going to Mangalartik. Why? Because it's the best time of the morning for spiritual life, this, that, blah. And that's perfect. It's good. But you're doing that because of liberation. So now, because you're going and serving Krishna in devotion, because you know it's about serving Krishna in devotion, therefore I'm going to Mangalartik for the, underlying, I may not even be aware, idea for liberation, like that. But because it's being used in bhakti, it will purify and bring me to the platform of devotion and give up liberation. Right? So that's the point, is because it's being engaged in bhakti. Well, let's say the impersonalists, they're just engaged in their austerities and study to gain knowledge and detachment, to gain liberation, but there's no bhakti there. They may use some bhakti, of course. They're following the sadhanas, doing that, but it's only in as much as it gets what they need. It's just like when you go to the minister's office to sign the paper, you're, as pleasant and nice and interactive and, taking him something or some consideration, only in as much as it needs to get him to sign the paper. Once he signed the paper, you couldn't care less about the guy. So it only works, means you only get your paper signed because of the bhakti. Right? But you used all the techniques that are there, and artha and niti and all those things, and dharma, what to do, to get him to sign the paper, because you want him to sign the paper so you can get your work done. So bhakti is used, but it's only in as much as they'll get there. They can't function without that. Without the bhakti, it won't work. It's like, try going into one of these Bengali, bureaucrats' office and just go in and just be very, very mechanical. You won't get anything. You go in and hello, and how are you, and give him some prasad, and how's the family, and everything works. Like that. So that's the point, is that it's all going like that, and everyone know, at least those who are successful know it works like that. People who have their own, either who are unaware and all that, or who don't care, or who have some political ideology that, no, we shouldn't have to do that. He should just do it because it's his duty and that. And says, yeah, but it's your duty to be nice. Why don't you do that? No, then it's like, so it's weird. Like, I remember someone was telling me, it's like, something came up about donations and all that. And when these traveling preachers, I never give them anything. I said, oh, really? Why not? It says, because if you give them money, then money is there, and then they come puffed up, and they come puffed up, then they'll fall down. So I don't want them to fall down. So I'm saving them from falling down by not giving them any donation. You deserve that one. Yeah, good pat on the back there. You're not, yeah, you got it. You're the man, But it's just. So these are ideologues. They have an ideology, and they don't actually understand what's going on here. And the point is everybody in the material platform has an ideology that I'm going to do my work and I'm going to be happy, and it's all going to work out perfectly with me as the center. And despite what happens, it doesn't work, then you double down on it, you know. So everybody's doing it. So we shouldn't be surprised that you have this more liberal weirdo philosophy that does this to an extreme, because all it is they've tried doing it, and this is just what happens. It gets there, and then at some point the material energy is going to smack you in the head, and then you go, oh, okay, you know, and then back to a little bit lower down on the food chain so that you can actually progress. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So then, Vritti, having declared that bhakti is the essence of all spiritual practices, in the next anucheda, right? Because when you say all spiritual practices, what's there? So that means anything with karma and artha and kama, all that's going to be included. You know, as Prabhupada mentions, if you have the $100, the $10 problems and points are already made. If you say, yeah, $100, it's not, you know, money won't get you anything. That's not that $100 won't get you anything, but $10 will. No, it's just money in general. In the next anucheda, the author underscores the importance of not relegating bhakti to a subordinate role by seeking refuge in other processes. Instead, the emphasis should be on fully embracing the bhakti process, as it not only bestows all the benefits obtained through other practices, but also grants the highest result. It means all the other processes work by bhakti. So people, the karmis, are doing a superficial form of bhakti just to get their work done. So imagine if you're doing the activities they're doing with real bhakti. Why wouldn't you get what they get or better? Right? And we're fully embracing the bhakti process, right? It's fully on that, not on the other. Oh, no, but we have to get to the mode of goodness and that. That was the philosophy, I think, came out in the mid-90s. Like that, maybe it was 80s. There was a book on about goodness, and you have to raise yourself, because it mentions you have to be at the platform of goodness, go to pure goodness. But they took that as a philosophy and made their whole everything center around that. So it was all those activities to get you to goodness was the emphasis, rather than no, bhakti is what's going to get you there. And then you use the secondary processes. So in other words, secondary processes assist primary, but he had reversed it, because you got to get to goodness. Only then you can get to, so he focused and reversed it. So even though he's using the quotes and all that are all bona fide, and most of what he's saying is bona fide, he's got it reversed. And people just don't get it, because they can relate to goodness because it's one of the modes, and they've been here since time immemorial. So it's one of their old friends. But bhakti, you know, it means actually the concept of pure bhakti. That's something new, right? You know, like the dog, if he could see colors, it's new. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, anucheda 98. Thus, bhakti is the life of the sadhanas. Bhakti is the abhideya in all cases. But without other sadhanas, bhakti gives its results, right? Means, in other words, you do bhakti to the Lord because you do have the direct activities that are just doing. But you have that wide range, just that hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, like this. These work on their own, because they are devotion and their way to express. But then to expand on that, then you have all the other aspects that you do, right? So then you're going to be working with the Lord's associates and things connected with Krishna. You're going to be worshiping him through various activities. You're going to be offering prayers to him, right? So there's going to be other things that you're using, you know, and then there's going to be the moods, you know, as that of a servant, that of a friend, and that of someone fully surrendered, right? So like that, then you're going to get all these aspects. Quote, if one satisfies the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of sacrifice and the Lord of yoga, what cannot be obtained or attained? Vishnu Purana. Quote, he who takes shelter of Vishnu attains the Lord without a wealth of practice for artha, dharma, kama, and moksha. Moksha, dharma. The scriptures on moksha dharma. What is the dharma of moksha? And it's saying, he who takes shelter of Vishnu attains the Lord without having a great volume or a great amount or wealth of practice for artha, dharma, karma, and moksha. So that's what you see, is that because that's the most important. That's what Prabhupada emphasized. And from that, then you're going to get the devotees you see in that early 60s, 70s, just focused on the direct activities of devotional service. And as they are able to appreciate beyond that, you know, the secondary, and engage that nicely, you know, in a scientific way, in a cultured way, in a balanced way, then you add that. But if you can't, then better you stick to the direct activities. So it's like preaching's there, everything else is maya, you know. And so, yes, you could say culture is not developed. But then to replace the pure devotional service with a pursuance of that has no value. Then what have you done? It's bhakti Mr. Karma then. Yeah, I should change that. So that's the whole point, is that it's better. And then from there, from you working at that top place, you don't have the religious thing to back. You're supposed to add that, because Prabhupada's always, how many purports, if you take any, it would be an interesting thing if you take Bhagavad Gita and the Gita itself, you know, without all the appendices and this and that, you know, just the verses and their purports, how many pages are those? Now, in that going page to page, how many pages is Prabhupada talking about something to do with Dharma? You know, and that means the Varnashram and these elements like that of the sat. So it would be interesting to know what's the percentage. And then people then are going to say, we don't work, you know, we don't care about Varnashram. It's kind of like, you're not very sensitive to the environment. You can't read the room here, you know. You're not able to tell, you know. It's like you go into the room, you brought all your technical things like this, and you find out the room is all a bunch of, like, you know, nursery school kids, and you've got all your plan for your, you know, big thing, that, you know, like that. Or you go in with all the, you know, your, you know, how you say, you know, all the different toys and all that, and then you go in and you see there's a bunch of, like, 70-year-olds, you know, academics, you know, all sitting around, you know, like, you know, geriatrics, you know, and like, okay, I guess we're not playing hopscotch. Yeah, so like that. So that's the point, is that they're unable to read the room here. They can't tell what's going on, because the point is of the two, because they'll make it out like it was a fault, you know, the devotees before, they were fanatic. No, they weren't fanatic. You could say they're fanatic in that, but they were fanatic on the platform of sad-dharma. They didn't actually understand dharma. And so Prabhupada was trying to introduce that. That was what his point was. We have to introduce Varnashram. We take it as the rules and regulations of Varnashram. No, understanding the actual point is how Varnashram assists sad-dharma, the eternal dharma. That's the thing that has to, because all the details, what we use in Daiva Varnashram, that's there. But we take, oh, we got to go to Manu and take out all the, you know, wild and woolly, you know, elements that are there and things like that. And that's Varnashram. We can't do that. That's archaic. No, whatever it is, whether they're pushing too much this or too, or rejecting, that's Niyamagraha. Because the actual thing is this. How do those things assist Daiva Varnashram? I mean, as Daiva Varnashram, how do they assist pure bhakti? So that's the introduction of Varnashram. And Prabhupada has been talking about that since day one. You know? And so this is then what has to be understood. You understand this, then it's a matter of, it doesn't take much to figure out what's there. Okay, Prabhupada's put all these things together. And all that, he's referred to a few things that leadership, you know, they can study Manu and get a few more details from there, you know, that you apply when they come up, because the principle will always remain, the problem is already given, and general major, you know, applications he's already given, and then some minor ones, then you get from there. And he's mentioned the different books where you get these things from, you know. So that's the point that's there, is that it's all been given. It's just a matter of who's supposed to read that. So if you read Manu and go, oh, we can't apply this, you're not the one supposed to be reading it. You're not supposed to be making the decisions. Like that. So it becomes very much this point is that bhakti is the life of these sadhanas. Bhakti is the, so that's the life. That means it's existence. And that makes it, you know, can function. Bhakti is the abhideya, means the application. But without other sadhanas, bhakti gives its results. They can't give a result without bhakti. But bhakti, it is the life, it is the abhideya, and it is the result. And these sub-dharmas, they can assist in sambandha and abhideya, never in prayojana. So that's the point. Dharma, sad-dharma is sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, is sat-chit and ananda. And these upadharma, or these sad means dharmas, these sub-dharma, you know, these assisting dharmas, they're only going to work with the sambandha and abhideya. They assist sambandha and abhideya, but they don't give prayojana. The result they're giving is not prayojana, right? I cooked lunch, and I got lunch cooked. I have cooked preparations. That's not the goal. The goal is not to get cooked preparations. The goal is to offer things to Krishna, right? So that cooked bhoga that I made, offering that to Krishna in devotion, that's the goal. And then Krishna being pleased by that. We want to please Krishna by that. But that we got it cooked. As soon as the pujari finishes cooking, he's got it all done and everything, that it's all in the pots nicely, and then he walks out and nobody offers it, then would we consider, yeah, this was a good day? No, we'll say is they have no idea what they're doing. Nobody cooks so well, and that is fabulous, and this and that, and amazing. And, you know, we brought in, you know, how you say, you know, well, not the, you know, Jamie Oliver, he said it was fabulous, you know, like this and that. And, you know, it's offered to Krishna. That's why we think is that the result, that's why Krishna is the cause of all causes. It means he's the final. You know, it always has to get up to Krishna. So that I got the cook thing, that's just the result portion of abhideya. And that I did that in the kitchen, in the field, knowing what goes with what. That's just the sambandha aspect, or the field aspect of abhideya. Then I have to know all the knowledge of abhideya, of sambandha. I have to know all the understanding of the prayojana, then I can apply it. So that's the mistake that's made, that I cook, that it's done. No, but if it has to be offered in devotion. Right? That's the point. The goal is to offer it to Krishna in devotion, not just to get it cooked. So same way that we collected money, okay, but it has to be used for Krishna. You know, we built a temple. It has to be used for Krishna. You know, we made a big festival and that, but it has to be centered around Krishna, not around management or collection. Those may be there. You need them, but it's not that. That's the point. The point is just Krishna's pleased. The Vaishnavas are pleased. So if you had this big festival, it managed well, you collected lots of money, but no one was happy with it because it was all centered around collection and telling everyone this and that, and then you're kicking people out and doing all these things, so it went perfectly smoothly, you know, like that. Then it wasn't about Krishna. It was about, yeah, I'm a manager and we got to collect money to do all this. You know, without money, nothing happens, you know, but we have to remember Krishna is money. He's the one that makes it work. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that this thing. So they're there. And so, oh, so we don't manage or don't collect. No, it says you have to understand we're Krishna. It says, yeah, so then we have to do it. Yes, but we're Krishna. So this point, this is where the problems come up, is understanding the difference between matter and spirit. That's the first verse of Bhagavatam. Truth is actually being able to tell the difference between matter and spirit. And so this point, this is telling the difference between matter and spirit. This is exactly where it hinges. right? And it's and matter and spirit. Matter means the consciousness, because the what we see around us, it's all Krishna's energy. So it's still Brahman. It's just, it's only on the Brahman platform. You know, it may be material Brahman, but it's on the Brahman platform. So that that's why Sukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras, they can see everything connected to the Lord. They never feel separation because everything is the Lord, and they're appreciating the Lord in everything. So therefore, they never feel separation. They're always with the Lord, because it's not so much about a personal relationship. They know him as a person. They know they're a person. You know, it has, it's stronger on the identity, but it doesn't have that, that, that individual, it's not element, isn't as strong. It's there. You know, so then, so there's always that point of where it, it, you know, how it hinges from one to the other is that it's our consciousness. So how does it hinge from the Dharmartakama and moksha into pure bhakti? That's the point. So anything below can be engaged in Krishna's service. But the point is because it's already going on in the spiritual world, the places for Krishna, the activities of Krishna, the results are for Krishna, the happiness is for Krishna. There's nothing in Vrindavan that's not being used in Krishna's service. Right? We have that explained when Krishna and Balaram go for a walk in Vrindavan, and Krishna's pointing out how everything here is doing its activities. You know, the trees are doing tree stuff and making shade and producing, you know, nice leaves and flowers and fruits and, you know, all these different things for the pleasure of Lord Balaram, right? Because he's the master of the Vrindavan forest, and he wants the forest to serve Krishna. And so they're all doing that to please him. And in this way, then it's all engaged in Krishna's service. So that's why Balaram is respected by, you know, is worshipped by the devotees. They say, oh, you just worship Krishna. But the point is what do you worship Krishna with? You're worshiping Krishna, but with what? That's all arranged by Balaram. Therefore, and he being the Lord of the Kriya Shakti, you know, the Samvit potency, that means we're extension of Samvit. And so therefore, you know, we're the smallest little bit out on the outer edge. But the point is we're still connected there. So it's by his grace, we're able to engage all these things within this, you know, Brahman and Paramahama aspect in Krishna's service. So if you want to make that switch, then it's by his grace. That's why it said, you want to give up, you know, all material desire and everything, be engaged in Krishna's service. Giving up material desire is not necessarily the working with the various elements and all that. It's the mentality that I'm the controller and enjoyer. Because I'm the controller and enjoyer, that's why I can't see Krishna. Therefore, I can't actually function with that proper understanding of what is prayojana. That is pleasing Krishna. That's what makes it work. Yeah? We're good? Yeah? Okay. Thus, it was, continuing the Acharya, thus it was rightly said that bhakti is the abhideya, since it is said to be the result after hearing all scriptures, right? You hear everything, you'll get, the result will be bhakti. So all these other things are just subsidiary. They just come because they come. You put something in a toaster, it gets toasted. You put something in a blender, it gets blended. But what's the result? If I just go in the kitchen, put something in the toaster, and then it pops up, and I'm not around, no one else is around, and, you know, except for the cat trying to figure out how to get it out like that, then, you know, nothing's happening, you know, and the cat can't knock it off the counter. The dog can. So if the cat can get the dog involved, then it can knock it off the counter, the toast will fall out. But the problem is the dog in one bite will eat the whole toast and will need nothing for the cat. So it's, it's a problem. So we're going to. So that's the whole point, is that it's results come. Material nature transform. We're doing nothing is transforming. Did we go out there and go, you know, ooh, yeah, all the leaves should turn, you know, golden colors and fall off. And then, you know, and then boof, there it goes, or, you know, like that, or, you know, like that, or get out your wand and snap snow. And, You know, we do all that. You know, it gets hot when it gets hot. It gets cold in me like that. The ocean comes in and goes back. The wind blows. Right? Isn't that what it says? You know, the lazy wastrel, you know, lying on the couch, pushing the remote. Because of him, the wind blows. Because of him, the sun comes up and sets. Because of him, the oceans don't go past the border. Isn't that what the Bhagavad, that shloka from Bhagavatam, isn't that what it says? Yeah, something like that. Maybe we're a slight different wording. Yeah. So that's the whole point, is everything's already going on and transforming. It's just a matter of what you want to take part in. You know, that's all. It's just what you want to take part in. So according to your nature and taste of where you are now, you take part in certain things you don't. So that's what's going on. That's what goes on. And so then, now it's just a matter of now, whoops, how are we going to see it? So we're already seeing all these things, but we don't see how it all holds together. And the only way to see how it holds together is seeing it in relation to Krishna. There's no material, it's not one. Whoever is the biggest, the greatest, the, you know, smelliest, it doesn't matter. They don't know what's going on. Let's see a little bit. You know, like this, like if I see this, I go, yeah, nice, you know, white, smooth. I have a little, you know, metal strip on the back, some kind of like little line here, like that. There's a little, what do you call it? That little kind of clear place here. Yeah, no, it's a great little thing. You know, I mean, it's nice. It's not a bad weight. It's smooth. It looks nice. I can use it as a paperweight. So I yes, it is smooth. It is white. It is all these things, but he doesn't know that inside, then, oh, there's nothing. Aha. I was like, inside this, where are they? Oh, I'm already using them. Yes, that proves the example. It proves the point. You don't even know what's going on. You know, it's like that. You're looking for your glasses that are on top of your head and all over the whole house. Like you go into the bathroom. Yeah, and you're looking around, then you go in the bathroom. Oh, like that. It's so funny when that happens. Yes. So here it said, thus it is rightly said that bhakti is the abhideya, right? Since it is said to be the result after hearing all scriptures. You hear all scripture, you get bhakti. It means in hearing, you may get knowledge and detachment, you know, like that. But after hearing all this, then you get bhakti, right? Because that's what it's for, right? And all scriptures means you take all scriptures, all of them have written, then the conclusion was given, or the consolidation and all the essence was given in Mahabharata. He wasn't satisfied. And if you're not satisfied, that means there must be something missing on the, you know, there. And we're not talking about being absorbed in Krishna. You can do that eternally. You'll never satisfy because it's so wonderful. You can keep going. You don't feel any lack. You feel you want to do it more and more. Well, materials, a lack of satisfaction is, you've done something, you get, it's that you're not getting anything out of it. So the end result is you don't want to do anything. Therefore, they go for liberation. Or when that doesn't work, then they go for voidism. When that doesn't work, then they go back to gross sense gratification. Yeah, you know, so it's just, it doesn't work. So, and then after hearing from Narad Muni, from a spiritual master, then he understood is that the Achinta Beda Beda Tattva. Then he started thinking about it. Then he had the realization of seeing Krishna and Maya at his back and how everything is controlled. Then he understood Achinta Beda Beda Tattva. Then he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the essence and the conclusion of all the Vedic literatures. So when you say you hear all scriptures, then you're going to hear all the scriptures. You know, and then you have to hear Bhagavatam. But then if you hear Bhagavatam, then you've heard all scriptures. So you don't have to read everything. You read Bhagavatam and you're good. You know, so that's what Prabhupada said. Gita, Bhagavatam, nectar devotion and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Those are your main things. Other things that are recommended, then you go out and read. But beyond that, you don't have to, unless you have some work. You're working, let's say you want to be an Ayurvedic doctor. Yeah, you're going to read all those things. That's going to be your occupation. But if you're not, you don't need to read it for bhakti. You need to read it because then you have a job and then you have money. And with money, you can maintain yourself so you can be engaged in Krishna's service. But to know bhakti, you don't have to read Ayurveda. Right? But the purpose of Ayurveda is bhakti. You know, you're healthy so you can serve Krishna. Okay. And it is said that the Lord himself first promoted bhakti. Quote, Kalena nashta pralaye vaniyam veda samgita mayadau brahmane prokta dharmo yasyam mad atmakaha. This is from Bhagavatam. Quote, by the influence of time, the Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, when the subsequent creation took place, I spoke to Brahma, the Vedic knowledge in which bhakti is the essence. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.3. Right? You know, so this will be Uddhava Gita. Right? And so, 11. And so, he's saying by influence of time, because time then everything transforms, everything this is, you know, something comes up, something goes down, it's all time. So, by influence of time, then the universe was finished, you know, Mahavishnu breathed. I mean, if it's irregular, it would be brothed, right? No? Depends what community you're from. Yes. Okay, yeah. Yeah. So then, when he breathes out, then the universe is there, but the knowledge is not there. So it has to start from someone, because, you know, the Vedic literatures, you know, that's describing the religion, the supreme religion and the religion of living entity, how to get there. So, and Dharma, religion, comes from Krishna. So therefore Krishna has to give it. Right? It's not coming from somewhere else. Right? You know, you don't get it in a, you know, a prize in a box of cornflakes or box of cereal. Yeah. Yeah. When I was a kid, it used to be Cracker Jacks. That's where you got the prizes. But now it seems to be other places. Okay. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Oh, it's not here. I was going to say, last time we didn't have the Srila. This time we have. So he fixed it, right? Okay. O Uddhava, all philosophies arise from the Vedas alone, but the purport of the Vedas is Bhakti Yoga. This Dharma arises from my Sarup, Mad Atmakaha, right? Because that's what he said here. Yasyam Mad Atmakaha. It arises from my Sarup, since Bhakti is the essence of the Hladini Shakti, right? So the Sambit Sandini Hladini means where these are the Anubhav forms of Satchitananda, right? So Satchitananda is the basis of everything. Then it'll have different forms. So the Anubhava form means what gives the taste and the flavor and the inspiration is going to be Sambit Sandini Hladini. And of that, Hladini is the main, because it's connected with fulfilling Krishna's desire. Right? And so the essence of that is going to be the bhakti. That's how you please Krishna. Right? It's through that bhakti. So it will come from Krishna's sarup, because it doesn't come from anywhere else. Right? Because he is everything. So then it's coming from this aspect, you know, because other aspects means from his, the Brahman aspect, it'll have its existence, or the Sat aspect, it'll have the existence. From the Abhideya or the Chit, you know, that, or the Paramatma aspect, it'll have, you know, its laws governing and how things work and how things transform and what you do and all that. But getting a result from that transformation, but it's the bhakti that's the main, is the essence. It's not getting a result. It's pleasing Krishna. So giving that result to Krishna for his pleasure, or doing that work in that situation for Krishna. Right. So Mud Atmakaha can also mean, quote, the process in which the mind concentrates on me, right? So mud Atmakaha, so means that, because the Atma can also mean, you know, the body, the mind, the intelligence, and the soul, conscious. So that the mind is completely absorbed in Krishna. Then that also can mean mad Atmakaha. So that's why it's important to know is that it has all these and they all connect perfectly. So that's the anvaya, is being able to see that. And that's the thing that you don't learn when you learn grammar. Should I repeat that? Anvaya, meaning how the words connect together, what they mean, how they mean in the philosophy, all that. Grammar does not teach that. So hence, by learning grammar, you don't learn that. Right? So, because you know grammar and you've learned some vocabulary and all that, and you know how to use, you know, the Monier Williams dictionary, you know, the German dude who put it together for Max Müller so that he could conquer India and make them all, make them all subservient to the, you know, British, desire or need, whatever. So it's there, and we can use it in Krishna's service. That's the whole point, is it's been made. So we can use it for Krishna, and it completely defeats the purpose that it was made. But whatever. But if you just think because that, oh, so Prabhupada's, you said this here, but that's not the literal meaning. It's this. Then that just means that your understanding is impure. You think the grammar defines the bhakti in that. No, the meaning, where it comes from, it's from Krishna's sarup. He is language. The letters come up from him. The letters all have meaning from him because they're all connected to him. So therefore, even though it can mean, it comes from my sarup, atmakaha, can also mean the process in which the mind concentrates on me. So the acharyas see this, and if some fool thinks that, no, I know grammar and this is not how Monier Williams used it, they're just a fool. That's all. It means we have so many examples of, like, say, someone like Prakashananda Saraswati. Now, he's got 10,000 sannyasi disciples. And these are all, you know, impersonalists, and they're all living in Varanasi, and they're all very renounced. Who do we know that's got 10,000 sannyas disciples? Right? So that means he's pretty good. You know, it's not that he's giving out, you know, how you say, some, you know, free, you know, rides on the Ganga there and his yacht or something, and therefore they're all, but you have to be a sannyasi. So yeah, I want to be a sannyasi. You know, like that. Does that make sense? That's not what's happening. It's because he knows the philosophy, he's very renounced, he can describe it, they can appreciate it, and all that. And so therefore they've surrendered and they've done that. And Lord Chaitanya then explains, and then they say, you know, that we were fools, we didn't catch that. They see the faults that Shankaracharya is making and all that, and they think, yeah, this is stupid. That's a smart person. But a person who thinks, no, my scholarship is the real thing, and that's how I know everything, and everybody should do that. That person, by the Lord, by the Shastra, by the Acharyas, and by practical example, they're called fools, and they are fools. Yes. You know, like it said, yes. In this universe, we're looking scientifically, it's made up of, you know, all these little particles. There's protons, there's neutrons, there's electrons, and there's morons. And that's the whole universe. Yeah, so you can't say, I can't say that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's what the everybody else said, the Acharyas. So that's the way it is. And we have faith in that, and so therefore then we're saying that. So that's the point, this meaning, is that you have all these different nuances. So when Prabhupada and the Acharyas translate, they know the purpose. They know that it's just about bhakti. And knowing that, they know all the elements of bhakti. And they see the context in which it's being saying. They can bring out all these. That's where they come from in the purports. So some work it in, like here is like in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is famous for working at the conversations between the Lord and the devotee, or devotees and devotees, and things that are in between the verses and all that. Sanatana Goswami just goes, he just goes, you know, you can translate it this way and get this meaning and get explains it. We can also do it this way. And he'll give four or five meanings. So it's just different flavors in which they're doing it. Prabhupada will bring it out very subtly, you know, such to the point that we'll think, oh, he just knows basic Sanskrit. And so it's kind of like, we don't have anybody, and I guarantee you there's no one that knows Sanskrit the way Prabhupada knows Sanskrit. You know, say what you want, but he knows how every word, every syllable is Krishna. So that's knowing the Sanskrit. The language is for communication. What are you communicating? It says here in scriptures, it's all bhakti. So therefore he can see that. He can explain that. He knows. Others do not know. You know, so it says, you know, this one knows, this one doesn't know, this one may or may not know. So Prabhupada knows. And that so-called scholar does not know. You know, like that. That much. And then, you know, who may or may not know, that's, you know, we can, that's in between. We can discuss that later. Okay. So then we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.